What's up? How's everybody doing? Everybody good today? Yeah. Welcome to Church and Desperation Church at that. I'm so glad that you are here. Hey, we are in our second week of Family Matters, but before we dive in, can I just give you a couple of wins that has happened actually last week and actually happening tomorrow, which I think is phenomenal. How about last week we shattered records at our ARAB campus. We had way over 100 people. We had 419 people last week at our ARAB campus. Been going about 10 months. I think that is absolutely wonderful, and it is lots of fun seeing God do incredible stuff there. How about also tomorrow we are having our very first Right Night service in Jasper, Alabama for the first time reaching students. Listen, I've told Travis and I've told you guys on a regular basis, when you reach the students, you reach the parents, and so we're going to go hard after the students. And I tell you, it is awesome. It is awesome. We had, at our Right Nights, we had over 300 students on an average basis coming to the Right Night. And we also, even better than that, we had way over 300 students on a regular basis coming to church, all right? And our passion is that our student service wouldn't just be something that's kind of separated from the church. We want the students to be a part of the church. And so the whole point of student ministry is to move them into the church. We want them leading, we want them working, we want them serving, because they're part of the body just as much as the adults are in the house. And so I'm fired up with what Travis and his team is doing at our church, and I'm excited about what God's doing with the next generation. It is absolutely wonderful. Can we give it up for Right Night? The Riot. Listen. Hey, okay, before we dive in, last week, you know, the whole series is called Hashtag Family Matters. Last week, we did Hashtag Married Life, and we had like a little clip of me and Travis. And so this week, we're talking to singles, all right? One thing that I have learned is that, you know, a lot of times we do marriage series and we talk to married couples, but what I've learned over the years is honestly probably about half of your church is single, and it's a large group that we miss that we feel like we need to communicate, because one day they will have a family also, okay? And so today we're going to talk to singles. And so we have got a new hashtag video, hashtag why I'm single, and hashtag worst first dates. No, it's really bad. Please don't leave. Just stay. Listen, you might feel unspiritual for a minute, but it's okay. All right, check it out. See what happens.
All right, guys, it's week two of hashtag Family Matters. I'm back again with the pastor himself, Pastor Andy Heiss, and we are talking to the singles today.
Going to have a family one day.
And we are going
started
to,
on their family yet.
We're going to read some hashtags that are hashtag worst first date and hashtag why I'm single. So starting it off, Pastor Andy, this is from at Kiesmer.
Be careful now. Watch your language in church now.
I break into the song Uptown Funk every 5 minutes and try to include it in the conversation. Don't believe me? Just watch. Hashtag why I'm single.
That guy
don't
said
believe it, just what, watch.
Is that what this guy said to his girl?
That's what she said.
This person. So this guy, they're trying to eat dinner and they're singing. He's singing Uptown Funk every.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That's a keeper.
I'm doing that with Leah tonight. No, that didn't sound right.
Uptown Funk. All right.
Don't try that at home, singles. Go listen to last week's message.
At Lisa Friends, my stepdad tells every guy I bring home, whatever you do to my daughter, I'll do to you. Hashtag. Oh, why I'm single.
Oh my
dear
God.
Dear God, creative team.
He definitely's from Coleman. That's Jasper.
Oh my gosh. This is from at AnnChris91. When I walk into a supermarket, I open the automatic sliding doors by waving my hands like I'm a Jedi. Hashtag, why I'm single.
Open says me.
Oh, my cheeks hurt. Oh, we gotta go back and read the stepdad. Oh my God.
Stepdad makes it worse.
at Ribby Springle.
One time I told a girl she was beautiful, and after she responded with thank you, I said, yeah. I've been watching you for a long time. Why I'm single.
And those creeper names.
Hey, girl.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, girl, you know who I am. I'm the guy down the street with the binoculars.
You ever see me look in your windows? I'm the guy.
Yeah. Oh. At DearPen_Erwin. Oh. When I had a boyfriend, oh, this is a girl. When I had a boyfriend, I brought him over to meet my parents, and my dad pretended to rob us to see if he would protect me. Hashtag.
I'm doing that with Avery.
Put him up.
Give me all your money.
Oh, God. This is so much better than last week. Oh.
At J. Crunk.
J. Crunk. That's a great name. What up, Jay?
Y'all, it's your boy J. Crunk in the house.
Oh, I bet he's got a chain that weighs his neck down.
Oh. Yo, what you got? Oh.
Oh. He told me he wanted to take me to one of his favorite places. Yeah. So I dressed up. It was Bass Pro Shop.
Oh.
Hashtag worst first date.
Met him in ARAM. Come on, girl. Get your best clothes on.
Girl, put them high heels on. We're going down here at Bass Pro.
We going?
Yeah, fishing pole.
We going somewhere. Get you a good looking chucker hat.
That's all we have for this week.
You got a Van Halen shirt. Put that thing on. I'm paying you somewhere special.
Girl, I got to stop on the way and give me some Copenhagen.
I had some solo cups. I'm gonna put them in a napkin.
I'm gonna put a napkin. We can't spill this anywhere, okay?
Hey, girl, you need to go over here with me.
Girl, you look.
We're gonna go Cracker Barrel. And then we're gonna go Bass Pro Shop. We're gonna have a good time.
That is it. That's all we have this week. Be back next week for week 3 of hashtag Family Matters.
Oh, come on now. I hope y'all like those. Listen, this is the honest truth. We have no clue what's being said. Both of us were just, they did that on purpose because they wanted like real raw reaction, and that was not made up. I mean, that we got that raw, really. And so if you're single today and that has happened to you, that is probably not the person for you, all right? Especially if you have a stepdad. Listen, that's not cool. So let's talk to singles, and let's talk a little bit about dating, and hopefully and prayerfully God's going to speak to you a little bit, give you a challenge, to give you a heads up. Number one, this is probably going to be one of the most practical messages you have ever heard if you're looking for something deep and exegetical and full of expository stuff, and some of you don't even know what that means. It's all good. It's all seminary stuff. Listen, understand and realize this will probably be one of the most practical messages you've ever heard in the area of singleness, or just period, okay? And also, you know, there is a place where, at my other church, part of my ministry was college and singles. And so for 6 years, I dealt with college and single people. And so we talked a lot about dating. And over the last 6 years, and even into pastoring, the last 12 or so years, I've learned a lot about dating, about singleness, about, you know, what happens and how things can, with some things you need to look for. And so I'm just going to give you a little bit of wisdom. Hopefully you'll take it as wisdom, a little bit of wisdom that I've learned over the years in the area of dating. And hopefully, prayerfully, it will help you, all right? The first thing I need you to understand, that it is okay to be single. You know, a lot of people who are single feel like losers. Like, man, there's something wrong with me. All right, listen, you're 18. It's all good, all right? Listen, it's amazing how many people feel like, you know, something's wrong with them when they're single. But to be honest with you, really, listen to me, understand, you're in great company. How about Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, was single? How about Jesus Christ himself was single, no matter what the History Channel says, okay? Listen, Jesus was single. Paul was single. I would step out and say those are some spiritual giants, all right? And so realize you're in good company. There's nothing wrong, zero wrong with being singles. And to be honest with you, married couples, we are pretty bad at always trying to play matchmaker. And I think we're really good at making singles feel like there's something wrong with being single, because there's a lot of times it's amazing how often we will look at somebody who's single and like, oh, girl, we got to hook you up with old cat daddy over here. I've got somebody just special for you. And usually they look like they're ugly in a mud fence. They fell out of an ugly tree, hit every limb on the way down. Thank you. By the way, it's always amazing whenever I was younger, my dad was always wanting to hook me up with girls and stuff. Like, hookup's a bad word these days. In the 80s, it was different than what it is today. He tried to set me up, all right? Like my dad, like he's going old school, like Old Testament. Like, we need, you need to go out with so-and-so. And I'm telling you, them girls are ugly in a mud fence. They could eat, popcorn in a Coke bottle and stuff. But listen, they're really pretty now. God, age helped them. But here's the deal. Realize and understand that it's okay. And married couples, we don't need to feel like it's our job to play matchmaker on a regular basis and make singles feel like they're less than because they're not married. And you got to hurry up and get married to be somebody, all right? Because honestly, it is okay to be single. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, and let me help you understand it just a little bit. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. It says, I say this as a concession. Now, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, not as a command, as a concession, not as a command. He says, but I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. Now, listen, if you go on into 1 Corinthians chapter 7, later on in the text, you'll also see where he says, again, it would be better. This is not a command, but it's a concession. It would be better if you did not marry, because basically your focus will be on marriage. It'll be focused on kids. You'll have different responsibilities, different distractions, and it will keep you from focusing on what you really need to focus on. Now, there's a place where I completely understand that. Whenever I was single, when I just got saved, I got saved radically at the age of 24. And I was single, but I loved Jesus. And so you get around other super spiritual people. I call them super spiritual because most of them were incredibly legalistic. And they would always make people like me who were single feel bad for wanting to go out with somebody. I don't know if it's like that today, but back in my day, if you dated somebody, then you really wasn't bearing your cross. You wasn't spiritual enough for the rest of us. And I can remember a guy who I respected on a regular basis who was super knowledgeable about Scripture and somebody I respected spiritually. Basically, he told me one time when me and Leah started going out, he told me literally, he says, if you go out with her, then God's gonna brass up the heavens. He's gonna close off your passion for revival, and you'll never be used again in ministry. Like, I just like Leah. It freaked me out because I really wanted to love Jesus, but I really thought Leah was hot, and she loved Jesus, and I really liked her a lot. And so I've got this guy over here telling me that you're not really spiritual enough if you go out with her. As you can tell, I didn't listen to him, and now I have two kids with Leah. There's so much I want to say, but I will not. All right, listen. So, one thing I know why he missed it and I got it right was because now I look at my two babies, I look at Caleb and Avery, and I realize and recognize that basically it was God's will for me to marry Leah. Because my babies now, God has on this earth for a purpose and for a reason. And honestly, I don't know of any other woman that could go through ministry with me like she does. And so he blessed me with her. And so understand and realize that in this text, there's also another piece of the puzzle. There's also a verse inside 1 Corinthians chapter 7. For those in this room that take this way out of context and think you're more spiritual because you're not going out with other people, or you know, think you're more spiritual because, you know, I just don't date anybody. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm dating free. I'm just focused on Jesus, which is good, and you need to do that, by the way. I'm not saying that you got to be chasing after everybody, but I'm not saying get legalistic. But the other part that's tucked away in that 1 Corinthians passage is verse 26. In verse 26, before Jesus says, I mean before not Jesus, but before Paul says that, you know, it'd be better for you not to marry, it says in verse 26, kind of tucked away, that in this present crisis, in other words, what the writer of Corinthians, what Paul is telling us is that in that day, in that time in Corinth, there was some kind of crisis that most historians think was a huge famine. And if you get married, you're going to have a large responsibility and you're not going to be able to really focus on your family like you need to. So right now it would be better to stay single than it would be to get married. And so you really can't take that into being super spiritual if I don't date. And so I just say all that for all the super spiritual people in the house that thinks that you're more spiritual than everybody else because I'm single. It might be because you're a nerd. All right, listen, I'm just kidding. That was me. You're really not. You're loved by God. Listen, but not by girls. It's all good. Listen. So understand that, you know, I believe that singleness is a gift from God, but a lot of people think that singleness is a gift like all the other gifts. Like, you know, the gift of administration or the gift of prophecy or the gift of serving or the gift of whatever. A lot of people think that that's kind of, you know, equated in those different gifts. I tend to think a little different. I don't really think that's what Paul's saying. That's me. Now, you can disagree if you want to, but I really believe that what Paul is saying is that when you are single, it's a gift from God. Why? Because you can solely focus on the things of God with no distractions, nowhere near as many distractions as somebody who is married does. And he's saying it's a gift because this is an opportunity for you that you have nothing holding you back. If you want to go on a 3-month mission trip, then you can go and do that if you want to without having to worry about a family, without having to worry about a wife or kids. Listen, if I looked at my wife and said, hey, baby, I'm going to Africa for 3 months, she would be like, hit me in the head with a frying pan. It's going to go over like a pregnant pole vulture. It is not going to work. But you, as single, have nothing holding you back. You have nobody tying you down. You can solely focus on Jesus. I remember David Jett, who was an incredible mentor of mine whenever I was single. I remember him telling me, basically on a regular basis, he would say things like, hey, Andy, you need to learn how to be disciplined now while you're single. Learn how to be disciplined while you're single, because when you get married, you'll need that discipline. Learn how to get up early in the morning. Learn how to pray. Learn how to read the word. Learn how to study. Learn how to read books. Learn how to do those things while you're single, because when you get married, you're going to have tons and tons of responsibilities that you don't have right now. So if you can discipline yourself now, it will help you when you get married in the future. And so, understand that singleness is a gift from God. And some of you are like, man, I don't feel like it's a gift. I feel more like it's a curse. Hey, just be patient. Trust God. You know, in the same way that I say on a regular basis when I talk to married couples, I always say that, you know, I believe that God uses marriage, his design of marriage, to teach us how to become more like Jesus. He uses marriage to teach us how to live out, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily and follow him. He teaches us how to die to self with marriage. Because basically your marriage is not going to work if one person or both people are incredibly selfish. To have a successful marriage, both people really have got to focus on being selfless and putting the other one first in front of them. Now, I also believe that singleness is another way that God uses to teach us how to be more like Christ. Singleness teaches us how to be patient, waiting for the right person. Singleness teaches us how to be disciplined. Singleness teaches you how to lay something down that looks really, really, really good, but they're not right for you. In other words, some of you girls out there might be looking at some dude that is just absolutely gorgeous. He is fat, P-H-A-T, pretty hot and tempting. You are so fine, boy, but he does not love Jesus. And so I will not date him, even though you have large pecs and beautiful hair. It teaches you to say no to something that your flesh wants, but yes to Jesus. There's a lot of things that you learn. There's a lot of things that you learn more about God in marriage and in singleness. Listen, when you get it, when you really get it, when you understand that there's things that God wants to do in this season of life that He's going to help you develop. He's going to help develop you. And He's going to, in this time of singleness, in this season, it's a season, by the way. I know a lot of you feel like it's forever. You're 15. It's all good. Chill out. Listen, understand and know that it's a season of life. And God's doing to do everything He can to develop you and prepare you for your future spouse if you will let Him, if you'll accept the gift that He has given you. And in this time where I have no distractions, not as many responsibilities, because I know singles do have responsibilities, but not as many as somebody who is married, it helps you be able to focus. Listen, it prepares you for your spouse and it moves you closer to Jesus. And when you let God work in you and teach you how to die to your selfish ways, you'll become an incredible spouse for your future husband or your future wife. Listen, you need to learn how to become more like Jesus now so that your marriage can be absolutely incredible. God will do that. So let me talk to the ladies in the house first, and let's talk about what should I look for in a future spouse. What should I look for in a future spouse? Now, I heard a guy named Stephen Furtick. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a pastor. He puts all his letters together. He sounds like Dr. Seuss at times, but it is absolutely anointed and crazy. But here's what he said I thought was really, really good. He said, men and women, by the way, some of the things I want to talk to the ladies about, guys can also take with them. But he says, marry patterns, not potential. Marry patterns, not potential. There's a lot of people that look at me and would say things like, hey, PA, he's got so much potential, or she's got so much potential, talking to the ladies. He's got so much potential, but yeah, have you been around him long enough? He's got really bad patterns of how he handles his finances. Do you want to marry somebody and marry into debt right off the bat? Check out his patterns. But he has so much potential. But yeah, he struggles with pornography. That's going to make your marriage bad. But he has so much potential. But yeah, the patterns of how he treats his mama is not good. Listen, the guy that you like, the way he treats his mama is the way he's more than likely going to treat you. And if he talks down to his mom and he's backbiting and he's always nasty and ugly and stomping his foot and wanting his way, then you better go ahead and bank on it. That's the same way he's going to treat you. Listen, you could tell a lot, ladies, about a guy by the way he treats his mama, by the way he takes care of his mama. Listen, I think before you dive into something that could be dangerous, you need to sit back and watch somebody. Not like a creeper, like we talked about just a minute ago. I got my binocular, I'm watching you. You're a weirdo. Don't do that. Listen. Watch and check out their patterns just to see if they really are Jesus lovers. You know, working in singles ministry, I saw a pattern happen on a regular basis. This is a bad pattern, not a good pattern. And it drove me bonkers. I still see it today. I see it in our church here at times. And it's amazing, it's happened all the time in singles ministry. It's amazing how a guy or a girl would get turned on to Jesus, be radical for God, going after Him with everything that they could. And all of a sudden, this good old boy or this good old girl comes along. And they call themselves a Christian. And that's, for a lot of people, that's all I've got to hear. Oh, they're a Christian! What? Hey, darling. Hey, buddy, we live in Alabama. Everybody's Christians. Have you not figured that out yet? You got to get people lost before you can get them saved. So surely they're going to tell you they're a Christian. And it's amazing how many people who in our singles ministry who are on fire for God, some old boy would come along, ladies, and all of a sudden he would be, you know, the next thing to Jesus. He would be Apostle Paul. Listen, and he knows what he's doing. He gets super spiritual just out of the blue all of a sudden. Why? Because he wants something that he does not have. And so to get this, I know how to get to her heart. I've got to pretend, even though they may not even act like they pretend, they go into religious mode and they do everything they can to capture your heart spiritually, when in reality it's all fake because they're trying to get you and not Jesus. And it's amazing how often, you know, I would come in between them. Like, I would do this because I loved them. And a lot of times they didn't like it. And a lot of times they left the church because I loved them enough. Because how many times have you heard love is blind? Love is blind. It is blind. And so you need somebody from the outside who loves you enough to come in and rescue you if you're getting in the middle of a bad relationship. And so I would do that. And by the way, singles, if you're here today and you got mamas and daddies that love Jesus, or grandmas and grandpas that love Jesus, or best friends or pastors that love Jesus, and they come to you and they say something along the lines of, hey, you really need to be careful in this relationship. Listen, you need to listen to them because you are blind and they are not. It's a bad deal. They're trying to protect you. I believe the second most important decision of your entire life is who you marry. The first one is your relationship with Jesus. Because you with them the rest of your life. And it's amazing. I would come in between them and they would look at me. It was amazing. The girls were like, oh, but Pastor, but Andy, we sat up and we talked on the phone for 3 hours and we prayed together. And Andy, well, I was over at his house and we fed each other the Lord's Supper. It was incredible. I put the wafer on his tongue and Pastor, no, I'm not going to go there. Listen, and we read the Bible for hours together and oh, he's just wonderful. And then when the dude realizes that he's got their heart, he has conquered what he went out to get. The next thing you know, they're completely out of church, walked away from God. I saw it happen over and over and over and over and over again. And it hurt me. It hurt me. And there's some in this room right now, there's a great possibility that you're in the middle of about to start into a relationship. And you've not really checked out the patterns, but all you're looking at is missionary date and you're looking at the potential. And the potential is dangerous. You need to look at the patterns. Listen to me, ladies. I don't care if the dude flexes and has Jesus on one bicep and Christ on the other. If he doesn't love him, it don't matter what he has tattooed on him. You watch from a distance. And then you let God lead you, if that's his desire, into his biceps. Listen. Ladies, the thing that I would tell you, the dude loves Jesus, and if the dude loves Jesus, then there's a great possibility he's going to lead you. If your man don't lead you, he don't need you. If your man does not lead you, then he don't need you. Listen, ladies, if you're having to push him into everything and him not pushing you into everything, then that's not good. You need a man that leads you. Listen, a princess does not hang around with the peasants. And I've heard people tell me all my life, I've gone to marriage conferences and I've listened to several different people talk. They always talk about women, ladies, being fine china. And if a man does not treat you as fragile as fine china, and you fall for him, there's a great possibility your life's going to be rough for a long time. You need to find a man that respects you, that treats you the way God's called him to. You know, a guy that leads you will be a guy that respects you. Every lady deserves R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect. You deserve respect. And if a guy does not respect you, listen, if a guy is texting you from the driveway, no, 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 I'm not coming outside till you come to my front door and meet my dad, who will rob you and then try to protect, you got to protect me. If a guy's texting you from the driveway, I'm here, I'm spitting everywhere, I'm so glad y'all are back there. Listen, shower, get a wash rag. Listen, if a guy is texting you from the driveway, that is a guy that does not respect you. That's not good. Ladies, what about the pattern of, does he have a job? Is he pursuing some kind of career? Listen, come on, dude, come on. That's a single man wanting a lady. I got a job, baby. I'm over here, right over here. Look at me. Trucker hat. I'm right here. Come on, we're going to Bass Pro Shop, girl. Let's go. Listen. Hey, guys, if you're here today and you're 36 years old and you still live with your mom and you're downstairs in her basement playing video games and she still cuts the crust off your peanut butter, your PBJ, your peanut butter and jelly, listen, you don't need to be pursuing anybody. You need to be dating your mom, all right? Just have fun. That does not sound right from the stage, but we are in Coleman. We're good. In Alabama. I should say, I just hurt somebody's feelings. Ladies, you don't be dating guys like that. Are you crazy? No. That's not good. Listen, is he a gentleman? Does he open the car door for you? Does he walk through the door before you do? Or does he respect you? Does he set up dates and then break them so he can go do something else with his boys? He don't respect you. Ladies, how does he talk to you? How does he talk to you? Does he degrade you or does he lift you up? Does he degrade you, talk down to you, or does he lift you up? Does he walk in anger a lot? Let me throw this out there to you. If you're here today and you're fighting all the time with your boyfriend or with your girlfriend, you just, you know, butting heads with each other on a regular basis, that's all you do is fight. Listen, there's a great possibility you do not need to get married. It's amazing how many people I have met who are just like catfighting all the time. And then they go and get married, and then they think because I'm gonna get married, it's gonna make everything better. Not happening. As a matter of fact, it gets worse. I'm gonna tell you what Travis said. Travis said this. This is Travis Key. He said, you got a pile of poo here and a pile of poo here. And when you get married, it becomes one big pile of poo. Travis. So if you get mad, send it to his email. That's what happens. It doesn't get better, it gets worse. Marriage doesn't fix it. Ladies, let me give you something else because I love you and I want to help you as much as I can. There's a lot of girls that have felt rejection in their life. Maybe it comes from a dad, maybe it comes from a mom, maybe it comes from other boyfriends, maybe it comes from friends in your life. You feel rejection. And so anytime somebody speaks sweet things into your ear, it just melts your heart. And those are times I believe that are dangerous for you. And I would encourage you and I would challenge you to let God help you get set free from rejection, that you find your identity in Jesus and not in any dude. Because here's what I want to help you with, ladies. There are these fork-tongued devils out there, these old boys that will tell you everything you want to hear so that they can get exactly what they want. So they can get exactly what they want. And we all know what we're talking about when we say what they want. And they will tell you all how beautiful, how gorgeous. Girl, your eyes are just sparkling in the moon, girl. You're so fine. You're so hot. And if you really love me, you'll do this with me. It's a trap. Get your feet on the ground and run. I remember when I first moved up here, we was at the Aquatic Center, and there's this group of boys, high school boys, college boys, I don't know who they were, and I was playing with my kids in the pool, and I overheard their conversation about some chicks, some girls on the other side of the pool, and they were talking about what they wanted to do with those girls. And I heard everything. And then I saw them start making their way towards the girls. I may or may not have gotten in the middle of that, but it's okay. It's all good. Like, I heard what they say and what they want to do with you. Run, 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 run. And y'all, you boys need Jesus. Anyway, listen. Understand and realize that guys will tell you anything that you want to hear, whether they think you'd want to hear, to get what they want. I tell my little girl all the time, be careful of fork-tongued boys. Listen to me telling you this. Listen to me telling you this. I tell her young, because one day she'll be old and they're coming, and I will hit them in the mouth.
I give him the right hand of fellowship in Jesus' name. Not my girl. Listen, find a guy you can trust. Ladies, find a guy you can trust. Guys, find a girl you can trust. If not, you'll be full of anxiety the rest of your life if you don't. If you don't trust them, you will walk in fear and anxiety the rest of your life. If you're here today and you're dating somebody, and if they're sitting beside you, this is going to be really, really awkward. Listen, if you're dating somebody and you don't trust them, why are you dating them? The one thing I know for a fact is that you need to marry your best friend. Date your best friend and marry your best friend. Yeah, you may have some squabbles every now and then, but if something all the time and there's somebody you cannot trust, marriage is not gonna fix it, it's gonna make it worse. You gotta live with them the rest of your life. Why not make it your best friend? Marry your best friend. And if they're not your best friend, you might wanna rethink who you're dating. Let me talk to the guys in here with some girls. The girls, all right, we're going to go a little shorter with the guys just because I said a lot of things with the ladies that guys can take hold of. But guys, first off, same thing I said to the girls. Find a lady that loves Jesus. If she loves Jesus, she will serve you until the end of time. If she loves Jesus, she will give you her entire life. She'll give you her heart. Why? Because she's given her heart to Jesus first. It's kind of like marriage, what we talked about earlier with last week about marriage. It's kind of like a diamond. You're on this side, she's on this side, Jesus is at the top. If both of you are focusing on Jesus, the foundation will be Jesus. And it will help you become better with your walk with Christ, but also in marriage one day. And so date somebody that loves Jesus. Guys, date a girl that you can trust. Listen to me, guys, I want you to hear me, all right? Because I'm telling you my old school life. I used to be lost one day at one time. Listen, if your girl is having girls' night out every other weekend and they're not getting home until 4 a.m. every Friday night into Saturday morning and they smell of white Russians. When I say white Russians, I'm not talking about little short white Russian men like Putin. I'm talking about the drink. You know what I'm talking about. And they smell like cigarette smoke, a little scattered, covered, smothered, diced hash browns from Waffle House because they just got back from there at 3 a.m. in the morning. Your girl is doing a little more than girls' night out. I promise you. You gotta find somebody you can trust. We just got through talking about that. Find somebody that you can trust. Find a girl that respects you. Just like guys, there's a lot of guys that don't respect girls. Same way with girls. If a girl is always talking down to you, if a girl is always threatening you with breaking up, if a girl's always talking about, well, I'm gonna go out with girls tonight on a regular basis, she don't respect you. And you need to be really, really careful. The other thing I would say for guys is every guy in this place, Christian guys, every guy in this place needs a girl that will say no. Because I'm just going to be frank. I'm just going to shoot straight. And some of you are going to find this awkward and some of you may disagree. But there are times, even as Christians, because God has given every man a sex drive. We talked about that last week. Remember, we said if one or the other did not have a sex drive, none of us would probably be here because, you know, it just be boring all the time. But here's the deal. Every man has sex drive. And so there is a day that it is kicking in hard drive, like put the pedal to the metal. And he will be thinking like, God, who? And he will be pursuing. I'm like, I'm coming after you, girl. And he'll be pursuing. And he needs somebody that loves Jesus in that moment when he is not thinking with clarity and needs to go take a cold shower. Listen, I shouldn't have said that. That went over like a pregnant pole vaulter. It's all good. Listen, he need somebody to kick him in the mouth. And say, no. And be what's right. Now listen, guys have got to be responsible also, but there are those moments that are not clear for guys at times. And they need a woman. And guys, you need a woman, a lady, a girl that loves Jesus enough to say no. And I don't care how Christian you are and how spiritual you are. And that's not an excuse to go out and just do whatever you want to, men, because you got to come under control too. All right, so that's a whole nother message. Let me say this real quick about that. All right, all of us are created for intimacy and sex is a good thing, but it is all about timing. The issue is not really sex. It's putting yourself in a situation that you cannot handle. So make sure that you don't put yourselves in situations where that becomes a problem. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Let me talk to another group of singles in the house. Let me talk to those who have been divorced here, okay? First thing I want to say is if you're here today and you've been divorced, it's amazing, especially church, how church makes divorced people feel like they've committed the big black dark sin. Here's what I need you to know right off the bat. Understand, okay? And some of you may disagree theologically. I would say go study the cross. If you're here today and you feel like because you've been divorced that God will never use you again, that I've got the big black X on me, that God is through with me, He is completely done with me, God will never use me again. By the way, this is not for the purpose of you using this to go out and get a divorce. That's not the purpose of what I'm saying right now. Because we talked about that last week. I shouldn't be in your language. But if it is, if that is who you are today here, then what I would say to you is that is not true. As long as you still have air in your lungs and your heart is still beating inside your chest, that God has still got a purpose for you and still got a plan for you and still can use you no matter what religious people say. Because if that is true, then nobody in this room has an opportunity. Divorce is not greater than any other sin. And that means that the gospel is not really real, but it is. My question to those that believe that those who have been divorced are done with God ever using them again, my question to you is where's the cross and where's the burial and where's the resurrection in the middle of that statement? Because I thought Jesus died for all sin. I thought he died for all sin, and he did. And so, if you're here today and you're listening to this message on singleness and you're beating yourself up and you got your stick out, wearing yourself out, I just want to challenge you to take that stick you're beating yourself up with, that guilt and shame, and lay that thing down and pick up the cross and go after Jesus. We got people inside our church who have been divorced who are being used mightily, incredible, small groups, leadership all over the place. God's using them mightily. And it's a beautiful thing. But let me shoot straight with divorce people. You know, when I work with singles, I work with, you know, from college age all the way up to in their 70s and stuff. I mean, widows. I work with all singles. And the thing I'd want you to know is that the worst thing any divorced person could ever do is to jump straight into another relationship right after they've been divorced. Because honestly, there's a great possibility you've literally gone through a really difficult time, and honestly, you really need to heal. You need to let Jesus heal you. You know, a lot of divorce people think that they're already healed because they've been emotionally separate. I've been emotionally separate from them for a while, and I've been healed. Listen, a person jumping into another relationship really shows that you really have not been healed. Why? I guess my question would be, why do you need somebody? Why do you need somebody, number one? And then number two, and I don't mean this in a guilty way. I don't mean this in a negative way. But can I ask you a question? When is Jesus just going to be enough? When is Jesus going to be enough for you? When are you going to let Jesus, as cheesy as this sounds, really cheesy, but as cheesy as it sounds, why don't you date Jesus for a little while and let him heal you? Let him mend your heart back. Let him knock down the walls that maybe you've built up. Let him do something in your life. God is not done with you. Listen, a lot of people who are divorced, and this is me just shooting straight. This is me just shooting straight with you because I love you. I want you to hear me. A lot of people who have been divorced don't really ever forgive their ex-spouse. And it makes somebody who's been divorced bitter, it makes them critical with other people. And when you get this way, it really makes it hard to be around you. But God wants to restore you. He wants to soften your heart again. He wants to minister to you. And here's what happens a lot of times. It's amazing with my older singles that I used to have. They would come and join this Sunday school class that was all older singles, especially older singles. And they would be like, I mean, it was vicious. I mean, they would be like, it was a meat market. I mean, like, we look at where you at. I'm finding my girl in this place. And it's amazing that they would find somebody. And this is the honest truth. I saw this happen a lot. They would date them for 2 or 3 weeks or even 2 or 3 months. And then they would come to me and they say, "We're going to get married." And I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on. Y'all been dating like for 3 hours. That is not cool. Yeah, y'all don't need to do that. Y'all need to heal." Because here's what happens when you get divorced. You take all the baggage from this area. If you have not dealt with it, that's why you need time to heal. You need to deal with the baggage. If you do not deal with the baggage, you take all your baggage into this relationship, and this other person who more than likely has not dealt with all their baggage and bring it into this baggage, it looks like a gigantic luggage rack at the airport. It's full of baggage. And it's miserable. Here's what I need you to understand. It's amazing how many people want to jump right back into a relationship and after dating, you know, they want to get married after dating for 3 or 4 weeks or even 3 or 4 months. And I beg them not to, and they'll do it anyway. It happened all the time. And within 6 weeks to 6 months, they're back in my office wanting counseling because we're ready to separate. They had no clue what they was getting into. So I would challenge you, let God heal your heart before you dive into a relationship. If you're here today and you've been divorced, let God heal your heart. Listen, He wants to carry your pains. He wants to set you free from your pains so that He can take you into maybe your next relationship that you go into so that you don't destroy each other. Let Jesus heal you. You know, when it comes to divorce, divorce allows the enemy to attack you with a victim spirit, to where basically you kind of begin to feel sorry for yourself and you want other people to feel sorry for you. And what happens is a victim spirit causes you to live offended on a regular basis. And you need to let God set you free, find your identity in Jesus, let God set you free from a victim spirit so that you'll be a pleasant person, number one, to be around, and number two, not walking the fence the rest of your life. That would be miserable. Here's what happens. Listen, for those in this room, if you're here today and maybe you're in the middle of divorce or maybe you've been divorced for a long time, the enemy wants to trap you into getting internally focused, to get so focused on your issues and your problems, which I'm not trying to make light of them because I know that it's probably the number two thing in the world that anybody ever has to go through. Just from counseling and talking with people, the first thing is death. The second is divorce, which is almost like a death. And so it's like, you know, it's a struggle. It's difficult. And so, listen, what I would challenge you with is not let the enemy get you into being internally focused, but let God teach you how to give your life away. Here's what I would challenge you, or even if you're not even divorced, if you're here today and you're going through deep pain and deep heartache and difficult times, one of the best ways to help that, at least for a moment, is to give your life away to somebody else who may be having issues also. Take the focus off of you and put it on somebody else who is struggling. That's why I would challenge anybody who's been divorced to keep from the enemy destroying you with internal focus is to come and serve in church somewhere. Let God use you in church or serve somebody outside the four walls. Do something with your life. Give your life away. Because what happens when you start giving your life away, it takes the focus off of you and it puts the focus on somebody else, which is really the way that God created you. And it's amazing what God can do. It's amazing what God can do. Listen, serve, serve. The best thing that I believe somebody who is divorced can do is to give their life away. So go for it. Let me just throw a couple other things out that I would say that you need to do while you're dating, all right? And this is the last thing. I told you, listen, this is a smorgasbord. I'm kind of all over the place, but I'm trying to preach a whole series in a message. So I'm just trying to communicate with those who are single in the house. So Andy, what are some things that I should do while I'm dating? Well, the first thing I would tell you to do is that you got to set some boundaries some way, form, or fashion. Listen, set boundaries. You should always stay vertical. There should never be a time you're laying on your grandmother's sofa couch, spoon hugging, watching PBS. Because you know there ain't nothing on PBS with your essential oil candles. That's gonna end up bad. Listen, stay vertical. If you lay, you'll stay, and you'll wake up the next day with a baby named Ray Ray. Stay vertical. Boundaries. Listen, it's easy, by the way. I'm just going to throw this out there. It is easy for Pastor Andy to stand up here and talk about having boundaries. It's really hard to do, and I understand that. But you've got to have something in place. You know, one thing I think is really, really cool is Genesis chapter 2. God creates Adam, and he gives him boundaries. He says, your job is to take care of the fields. Hey, you can't eat out of this tree, but you can't eat out of these trees. He gives him all kinds of boundaries. And then the very next thing that you see after he gives him boundaries, you see in the text, you see that he basically looks at Adam and says, it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to bless him with a wife. I'm going to give him a wife. And a lot of singles who are waiting for God to give them the blessing, a lot of you are here today waiting for God to give you the blessing of a spouse, but yet you have no boundaries in your life. Well, listen, when you have boundaries, you'll do anything, and when you don't have boundaries, you'll do anything, anytime, with anyone, and that's not good. And before God can bless you, you got to follow and stay in the boundaries. Boundaries will always come before blessing. And that don't just have to go with singleness or marriage. That could go across the board with all of us. Thought that was really cool. Listen, some other things I would say is pray together. Pray together. Some of you may think it's awkward, but let it go. Just pray. Talk to God. Hey, how about this? Why don't both of you, while you're dating, spend time with other friends? Listen, don't just suck the life out of each other like a couple of ticks on a dog. Are you crazy? That's miserable. Be friends with other people. Let your man go hang out with the boys. Hey, guys, let your girls go. Let your girls, come on, player. Let your girl go hang out with the girls. Just not every Friday night with white Russians. Listen, serve together. Talk about Jesus together. Listen, if a boy gets mad at you, I've heard people say I'd really like to serve and stuff, but my boyfriend says we don't spend enough time together, so he don't want me really serving. Or I'd like to go to a small group, but I really can't go to a small group because my boyfriend or my girlfriend really won't let me. You need to kick them to the curb. They controlling you. Listen, serve together, do something together, or serve separate. And then I'd say be best friends. We've already talked about that. Listen, it is okay to be single. This is one of the best days of your life. Cherish it for I know some of you like, it is not great. It is good. Let God teach you in the middle of it. Why are you fearful of being alone? When is Jesus going to be enough? And some of you might be saying, well, Andy, it's easy for you to say, you're married. Yes, I am, and she is gorgeous, she is beautiful, she's my helpmate, and I absolutely love her, but God didn't give her to me until I was 29 years old. And I went through those same times. I felt like I'll never find anybody. And I'm so glad that I just didn't, go after I'm glad I didn't settle. Because there were some other girls that I kind of went out with, and they were crazy as a football bat. Crazy. Crazy. Crazy! But listen, God blessed me by helping me kick them to the curb, and then I met my wife. And now I've got one of the greatest treasures that I could ever have in her. Thank you, Jesus. Because I don't know very many women that could put up with me and my nasty toenails on the dresser. And she does. She calls them talons. I told her, let's make a necklace out of that thing. I'm going to come here with a necklace with toenails hanging off of it one day. I'll have scratches all over my chest. Being alone today does not mean that you'll be alone forever. Singleness is a journey. It is designed to teach you about you and about Jesus. That's what it does. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Christ the fullness of God lives in a human body, and you are complete through your union with Christ." In other words, pursue Jesus. As cheesy as it is, date Jesus. Fall in love with Him. Because when you fall in love with Him, it's easier to really love the person that He gives you one day. And He will. They're coming. I know it don't feel like it. They're coming. I promise you, they are coming. There's nothing wrong with you if you're single. There's nothing wrong with you if you even enjoy being single. Some of you feel guilty because you enjoy being single. The reason why I know that is because there's nothing wrong with Jesus who was single. Nothing wrong with it. Listen, singles. God created you for this day and for this time. And there's, as a pastor, there's nothing more that I want than singles, college, high school, young professionals, divorced, whoever you may be, older singles. There's nobody. We want you to help us lead this church. We need you. You can help us in ways that married couples can't help us. We need you desperately. And in a time like this, God chose you for this generation and for this time, for such a time as this. And let God use you inside the body of Christ to make this church and this community great for the kingdom of God. So I challenge you with everything that I am. Do great things for Jesus. Do great things while you're single. Let Him use you. Help us lead. Help us do great things for the kingdom of God, okay? Let me pray for us. Father, we love you. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. God, I pray that you'd be glorified in this place today. I pray you'd be glorified in singles' lives. God, you'd radically change hearts and change lives and break down walls. Do things that are larger than us. If you're here today with nobody looking around and you say, "Andy, I really can't lead a girl spiritually because I've really never given my life to Jesus." Or maybe you're here and you're married and you say, "Andy, I can't lead because I've never given my life to Christ." Would you introduce me to Jesus? Would you tell me, would you show me how to give my life to Christ? Listen, it'd be an honor to do that. If you're here today and you say, "Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus Christ, and I want to give my life to Christ today," would you pray for me? If that's you and nobody looking around, would you just throw your hand up in the air? Are you here today? "Andy, I need Jesus, man. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus." Are you here? I see you, my brother. There's one back here in the back. Anybody else? Anybody else? The Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and to believe in your heart that He's raised again on the third day. You may be saying, "Well, why do I have to believe in my heart, which is gigantic, which is large, that He was raised again on the third day?" It's because if you believe that He was raised again on the third day, that He was buried, that means that you believe that He died, that He took on your sin, He took on the wrath of God, He took in, He bore your sins into His flesh so that you can have life, have a relationship with the Father. And then it also believes that He's alive and He is well today. January the 12th, 2017, with your best interest out. So if you're here today and you say, "Andy, I want to give my life to Jesus," so how do I do that? Well, the Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth. That means you got to talk to Him. So why don't we talk to Him? Say, "Jesus, I confess you as Lord. Forgive me of my sin. I turn from my sin. I give you my life. Use it for your glory and for your honor. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for pursuing me. God, I give you my life. I give you all of me." If you're here today and you just gave your life to Christ, whether you raised your hand or whether you didn't, can we celebrate with Him, Desperation Church? Come on, come on.